Dana, firstly, thank you so much for doing this session. Really appreciate it. Now, Dana, your Instagram ID says what you're passionate about, and you have co-founded a bold and beautiful event called Speak Sports. So I'm really curious to talk to you about what you're doing in the space. More importantly, Dana, I want to find out what is it that you are doing and what is going on behind the scenes, because I'm pretty much sure a lot of the athletes and participants will not be aware about it. So thank you so much for doing this session. Really, really appreciate it, Dana.
Thank you so much for having me on the show and giving me the opportunity to speak about us, Speak Sports, and the future of the sport as well. And also, I would take this opportunity to say Ramadan Kareem for everyone celebrating. Let's get into the details.
Absolutely, and Ramadan Kareem to all our listeners as well. And what advice would you like to give to people who want to maintain the running schedule?
It's important to keep moving, even if it's 20 to 30 minutes a day, but also listen to your body. It's the time to just chill and enjoy this month and focus on family and yourself and be closer to God. So, but if you can move for a short time during the day, that's also good.
That is beautifully said. And right now, it's also the matter of sleep as well, isn't it? Because during the Ramadan season, the sleep pattern is slightly disturbed. So what you said is, you know, listening to your body is definitely brilliant advice. Now, Dana, before we get into your journey in fitness and running and ultras and talk about Peak Sports, can you tell our listeners a bit about yourself? When did you move to UAE? And am I right in saying that you're an architect by profession as well?
Yes, that's true. So I moved to UAE back in 2011, and I worked with architecture when I first came here. And just recently, I resigned from my job and started Peak Sports, which is a sports events company. And that's the focus right now.
Absolutely. And it is not only a Peak Sports. It's something that you guys are doing in order to inspire other people's better life as well. So, you know, I constantly follow you guys on Instagram, and some of the posts are definitely inspirational. So, you know, thank you so much for what you're doing. And you guys are putting up some of the most brutal trail courses. So, you know, and one thing which I liked about you, Dana, is I was watching your interview with Women in Sports. Mm-hmm. And there comes this element of passion versus what you're good at. And I can clearly tell that based on your what you're doing in the space and your architectural experience, you're definitely combining, you know, the passion with what you're good at. So thank you once again for doing this session. More importantly, you know, for what you're doing for this community. Now, I got to ask you this, Dana. When it comes to running, can you tell our listeners, when did you discover running? And where did your passion for running grow? And how has it shaped your life?
So it was part of my childhood, I would say, not specifically running, but as a child, I had an active childhood and I've explored different sports growing up. And I've spent many years of my life in scouts itself. So I've been outdoor in the camping, hiking, exploring nature and learning a lot about nature. And I would say that have shaped my experience later on and pulled me towards trail running when I came to the UAE. Uh-huh. And that's how the sport grew for me personally before I started seeing other groups and signing up for races. So I've always had the curiosity to learn more about rocks and nature and the formation of things. I would say it has a lot to do with my childhood as well.
That is absolutely brilliant. That you can clearly tell, you know, what is it that makes you special, and it has some elements of, you know, you're growing up as well. Now, Dana, I got to ask you this question regarding running. What is one thing that goes through your mind after you've completed, let's say, a run? It could be, let's say, a training run or an event, because some people find adrenaline, some people burst into tears, and for some, there's peace of mind. So what is it that one thing that goes into your mind immediately after you completed a successful run?
So I would say grateful. I'm always grateful. Sometimes we take so many things for granted, and even if it's our own health, and being able to stand up and go out for a run, even if it's a 5K or short,
yes,
or yeah, even a walk, is a blessing basically. It definitely makes me feel better. I feel less stressed. I feel more confident. I feel that I've owned the world, even if, yeah, I went outside and I saw the sunrise. But I'm always grateful that I have legs that can take me anywhere, basically.
That is absolutely positive and really, really great. Now, Dana, you are an event organizer, but you're a participant as well. Mm-hmm. Now, to our international audience, can you tell us how many events you have done? And as a participant, is there any particular race that stands out for you?
Yes, definitely. I mean, over the years, I've participated in so many races, and the focus was mostly on trail races. I've been running here for the past 10 years, so there are so many races that I've participated in, but there are two that stand out for me. One, which I've done in Bhutan back in 2017. It was a 200-kilometer staged race, which I finished. And the second one is just last year, a Himam race in Oman. 114 kilometers, and that stand out as well because I couldn't finish.
I see.
So those are the two races that are really, they stick in my head because they are unique, they are different, they challenged me in so many ways, and those are mainly the ones that are the highlight, I would say, of my running journey.
And the Himam Trail, that was really brutal, right? Both for, yes, male as well as female.
Oman is known for the type of terrain, right? It's very technical. The elevation is humongous. And when you run such a distance, you kind of disconnect from your yeah, physical body at some point, and then your mental state will take you to the finish, right? So I had some challenges during the race because my back wouldn't let me continue, so I had to quit at some point. But this is a race that I definitely want to go back and finish.
See, what I'm really liking is, you know, that is one of your most memorable one, despite you not completing it. And based on what you're saying, there is this urge that you want to go ahead and smash it.
Yes.
And I'm pretty much sure you will. Now, am I right in saying, Dana, that the Himam Trail, it was a female who won the overall competition, and she beat the male candidates as well? Am I right in saying that?
The male category are really strong, and
okay,
finish time is really good. There were some strong females as well on the edition, but no, it has always been male dominated.
I see. Okay.
I would say.
Excellent. And now, regarding you, Dana, is there a personal achievement in ultra running that you're aiming for?
There are many challenges that I set for myself, of course. I would like to do a 100-miler at some point, but not any 100-miler. I'm very selective with the races that I go for. And I would also, so I like remote areas. I like places not many have been for. I would also like to do a multi-stage race, self-navigated, just you and the outdoor, you and nature.
Yeah.
So those type of challenges that I would like to set for myself, and hopefully one day I would be able to go for it.
Definitely, 100%. You absolutely will. Now, then I got to ask you, what is Peak Sports? Who's the team behind it, and how did the idea generate?
So Peak Sports have started after we did our first race back in March 22, Shauka Hump Race, which was a team effort of several people involved. And then we managed to do three editions of the same race. And then we decided to register a company, which is Peak Sports. And now the people involved are myself and Samer Bukaid Bey as well. He's a partner on the company, and he is the founder of Trailrunners DXP. So we both organize, so we are both the co-founders of Peak Sports, and we both organize the trail races, which are happening now, Shauka Humphreys, Goat Ultra, and the coming race as well, Al Qudra.
Excellent. And we'll definitely touch base on the event that you just organized 2 days ago. Definitely, our listeners should definitely pay attention to that. Now, Donna, I was going to your website, and two things stood out for me, and I personally like that. The first thing on your website, it says, trail running is not just a sport, but a way of life. And the second one, it says that you want to create a company that would not only organize trail running events, but also build a community that inspires, supports, and uplifts one another. So can you tell our listeners a bit more on the thought process regarding that?
Yeah, so I do believe that trail running is a way of life, because when you're out there, you're connecting with nature, you're focused, you have attention to detail, you're just in the moment. You're present, right? So, and this applies to your daily life too. So, I believe that trail running has the power to shape your life and shape your relationships as well. And this is one of the reasons I mentioned that on the website. And regarding the community, you asked as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ask this question yet?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I wanted to know about how does it help with the community, because I went through the website and it is really beautiful and positive as well.
Yeah. I mean, we come from this background. So we started as runners ourselves, and we know what we look for in races and what attracts us to races. So this is why we wanted to organize races that are still close to people, and we are close to people in the races too. I mean, yes, we are the organizers, but our phone numbers are out there. We are reachable at any time. People can ask us questions the whole time. It's very important that you are in the community and people know you. At the same time, we wanted the community to grow. So the reason behind the races, as I said before, Peak Sports is where passion knows no bound. So it comes from passion. It will continue this way, because we wanted to bring more trail runners to this sport, to bring more people to this sport and know more about trail running and connect with the outdoor and with nature. And this is the reason behind what we do today.
Yeah, especially in UAE, there are so many iconic locations, right? You have Wadi Shoka, you have, you know, in Abu Dhabi, you have Liwa, you have Malia. So really glad, you know, that you're putting up these events. So thank you once again, you know, for you and your team for putting up the most brutal events as well. Now talk to us about Shauka Humphreys. Now this is at the iconic location of Wadi Shoka. Now talk to us about the good, the bad, and if there are any challenges you had faced when organizing the event. Now, am I right in saying that the first event was done in March of 2022?
Yes, correct. So the first event in Shauka, we put together literally after we decided to organize a trail race. And then 3 weeks later, we had a race set up. So it was the first race. It was very spontaneous, but we learned a lot from it. We had only two distances, 10K and 21K for the first edition. I wouldn't say that we faced big challenges, because we were learning too. It was our first race to organize. And it still attracted around 200 people to register, which was amazing.
Yeah.
We were very surprised with the numbers. But yeah, I mean, organizing a trail race, I would say, has its own challenges, because you need to make sure that safety is in place. And knowing that there are some remote areas in the mountains, you need to plan in advance how you can escort people in case of emergency or in case of accidents. So tapping into that part was a bit challenging, and speaking with the concerned parties as well. But we learned a lot from that race.
I very specifically remember when the event was put out, people were definitely excited about it. And even the reviews were absolutely fantastic. Now, in the show car series, I wanted to ask a very specific question, Dano. And that was regarding a post that I saw on IG, which actually said adjusted time and 5-minute penalty time for overall runners not carrying the hydration vest. Now, is there a requirement as per international standards to, let's say, have a hydration vest for a longer distance of that sort?
Yes, any international race would require you to wear a hydration vest, and it would be a mandatory gear, basically, not only for carrying the water, but also for carrying other items that you would require on the run. So a phone is important to call out in case of emergency. You would need a survival blanket, for example, in case you injured yourself and you had to wait for some time for the rescue to come. So there are many items, your nutrition, your fuel. There are so many items that you would require to carry in your bag by the time, let's say, the rescue comes. So I would say, yes, it is definitely a mandatory requirement on international, even on international, as an international requirement. But also, I would say it's important to carry a hydration vest and your gear, even you're going out for a run itself.
Yeah,
it is important because you're out in the wild. Even if you have friends with you, but everyone should be responsible for their own, for themselves, right? So, yes, it is a requirement, and it will always be a mandatory requirement on our races, especially if it's, let's say, 15K plus.
Okay, and am I right in saying?
Yeah.
And am I right in saying that, you know, in upcoming events, if there are such requirements, you go ahead and brief the athletes on that as well, right? And
yes, definitely. We do prepare a runner guide, which has so many information about the course itself, about the gear required, why is it required. And sometimes we also do a race briefing prior to the race. For example, when the course is very challenging, when there are so many remote areas, we do a course briefing to inform people as much as possible what is waiting for them. Because as you know, there are so many people that just see a race and they sign up for it without knowing what is waiting for them. So from our side as organizers and runners, we try to tap into the details and inform and educate runners as much as possible not even finishing the race or participating in it. It would help them even if they're going on their own to train for the race.
Very true, very true. Now, Dana, how has the Shaka Humphreys edition evolved? And has the distance changed over time? And so far as the registration is concerned, are you seeing a rise in the number of participants and general interest in athletes of Aswadi Shaka race is concerned?
Definitely. Shaka, as I said, we started with around 200 runners on the first edition. And then I reckon we had around 320 on the second. And 420 plus on the third edition. So it attracted so many people, even road runners, elite athletes, even many runners from the neighboring countries. And we also changed the distances. So the courses were different on every race. As we started with 10 and 21, then the second edition was, we introduced a 4K for children, and a 10K, a 21K, and a 40K marathon on the second edition.
Oh, okay.
And then on the third, the same distances, but we changed the marathon to an ultra distance, which was a 50K.
Yeah, that was a massive one, right?
Yes, yeah. It was really interesting because it was the first ultra distance in Shauka itself, I would say. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting to organize an ultra in Shauka, which is known for Jeep Trail. So many people go there, they think Shauka is a very runnable course, it's a Jeep Trail. So we managed to start on Jeep Trail, take runners over the Shauka pools, a bit of technical, and then a bit of climbs as well towards Cloud Mountain and back So it involved different terrains. It was really nice. And having this, like a fast 50K course in Shauka with like almost 1,100 meters of elevation was really nice.
Yeah, and I think what our international audience should do is they should definitely look up pictures and images of Wadi Shauka. I think it is an iconic location, and to be honest, it is relatively easier to
Yes.
visit from Dubai as well, isn't it? It isn't
Yes,
too far.
definitely.
Now, the fourth edition is scheduled to take place later this year. So, what is it that we can expect in the fourth edition this year?
We will change the courses. There will be new distances, new courses on the fourth edition of Shauka, because now the courses are known for the past three editions, so we wanted to introduce something new, and it's going to be beginning of November.
Beginning of November, excellent. So what I'll do is, in the show notes, I'll definitely go ahead and put out all the details. Now, Dana, based on what you're saying, I am having this feeling that you're using your work experience as an architect. So what I want to ask is, what skills from an architectural background helps you in preparing for these events and organizing these events?
It definitely helped, especially when you come to the, let's say, learning new softwares, reading maps, for example. It helped me. I mean, I am quite good with navigation because I've done this as a child as well in Scouts. But it definitely, I mean, attention to details, organizational skills, multitasking as well. It definitely helps. Yeah, definitely helps.
Absolutely brilliant. Now, Dana, the Goat Trail Race, which I think was an absolutely massive event and probably the most successful event in the recent times. Now, I know a lot of local athletes from UAE who did not participate in a couple of world championship events and they did not go to Saudi Arabia. And when I asked them why, they said they want to go out and train for the Goat Trail series. And one of the reasons why they wanted to do that is because they had this anticipation that it is going to be a really brutal race. Now, before you tell us about the different race formats for the Goat Trail Race, can you take us back in time and tell us where did the idea come to create a new and challenging ultra trail race that does require a lot of physical preparation and toughest in the most toughest and the most rugged conditions? So take us back in time. Talk to us about the brainstorming session that was done. How did the idea generate?
Yeah, I've always wanted to organize a race in Ras Al Khaimah because the mountain range there is different, definitely very challenging. And it all started with a group of runners who have went there for an FKT, which is the fastest known time from sea to summit. And they have done that over the route of Jebel Jais. And that's how the idea started. I think they planted the seed in my head. And that's when I started researching about the area more. And researching, I mean, when it comes to permits and what is allowed and not, because I know the routes there quite well. But to organize a race and get permits, there are also borders involved. There are a lot of barriers and security gates that you need to open and get through. So that's how basically the idea generated. And I've also spoke to a few friends who are hikers and who lead some hikes here, and I asked them a few questions because hikers know a lot about the trails here. So and this is basically how the initial step started.
And regarding hiking, I'm not sure if you know of Highlander.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
The organizer, he's from Lebanon. And they had an event just, I believe they did an event in the same location just 2 weeks after your event. And they are having the first Highlander event in Lebanon as well.
Yes.
So, it's great to know that, you did have a talk with people with hiking experience. Now, to our international audience and also to some of our local athletes, can you tell them what are the different race formats so far as the Goat Trail Race is concerned?
So the goat race had two distances, the 30K and the 50K. The 30K was around 2,000 meters of elevation and descent, and the 50K was with 3,500 elevation and descent, which is a massive number on such a terrain. It definitely attracted so many runners from the region and abroad. We had people who come over from Russia, from UK, from Spain, from Italy, just for the race, which didn't surprise us as well, because so many people were curious to know more about the mountain range in the UAE. And some were also surprised to even know or experience that there are such mountains here. Yeah. So for this time, we only had those two distances. We wanted to test. We have already a 100K kilometer course mapped out, but we postponed it for 2025. And we wanted to test the terrain over the 30 and the 50K first. So 100K is still in the books, but hopefully if we get the support of Ras Al Khaimah, Direct DA as well.
Absolutely, 100% yes, because the reviews were absolutely fantastic. Now, I'm going to read out an IG post regarding the race. And what that particular person mentioned was that the recent GOAT race was not only epic, but the organizers upped the game when it comes to hosting trail run events in the UAE. And she actually mentioned seven reasons as to why the Rag-based race was truly an absolutely smashing one. So can you elaborate more and tell more listeners, how did you feel when you got that feedback?
The feedback we are receiving until today is overwhelming, honestly. It was so good. We definitely had few concerns from people, which we take into consideration, and we always advise people to come back to us, whether it's good or bad, because this helps us to improve and be better on next editions, definitely. We learn from our mistakes. But the feedback that we've been getting, people were happy. We really put so much effort and work behind the scenes to get there. I would take a bit of time here just to elaborate a bit more on that post specifically. So the GOAT race was not an effort of one person. I mean, yes, you can be a good leader, but we had around 60 marshals on the course for people's safety, all located in specific places. We had around 30 people on checkpoints, just helping runners. We had a huge medical team. We sent a few medics and paramedics on the trail to just bring people out. The safety plan that was put in place was incredible. We have thought about every single detail. We even managed to deliver three remote stations, which cannot be accessed by car. So we had nutrition and around 700 kilograms of water and fuel on those three stations. And our people also were there very early morning just to be there before the runners and support them. One of them, we even had 19 gallons of water for runners, which takes 7K to hike and 1900 meters of elevation to reach to that station. So water was delivered there a week before the runners came to the race. So here I would also, I mean, there are so many people involved. I can't even mention all the names, of course, but there are so many parties to thank. I thank the farmers who helped, the hiking community, the trail running community. I think it was one of the races where we have witnessed the hiking community and the trail running community come together on such a scale. So it takes a village.
Absolutely, and it's great to know that, you know, you did offer water gallons at really remote location. And, you know, that just shows, you know, the willingness to go ahead and make it a perfect event. And I'm reading at the reviews and absolutely everyone loved that event. And I'm seeing Instagram stories. People are still posting about that event. So, you know, what I'm really hoping is that next time when you have that, a lot of international athletes should definitely, definitely participate. Now, then I want to first ask, what were some of the challenges that you faced when organizing these events, which a lot of athletes are not aware about? And this is more to do with the GOAT Trail race event that you had.
We definitely had some challenges on this race, especially that it crosses borders with Oman. And so we had to secure the borders. You know, we had around 350 runners on the race. So normally at the border, hikers are allowed and runners are allowed to cross, but having 300 plus people crossing the border at the same time was a big thing. So we had to secure the borders and in advance, and that was something very challenging. Also, opening gates and passing through, because the Sheikh's Palace is there, so we had to pass on details of everyone who was going to the stations, their plate numbers, and there were a lot of security checks that we had to go through in advance. So that was the reason on race day I wasn't able to be at the finish line. I had to be out there making sure that everyone is passing through smoothly and the gates are open, security are in their place. So there are a lot of behind the scene details that participants won't know about, but us as organizers, we go through this. But I mean, this is why at the end, that's our duty and our job to do that, so that participants can just enjoy the run and the vibe of the race.
That is absolutely inspirational and beautiful as well. And I wanted to ask Dana regarding that event, what would you say was the key highlight or takeaway from organizing the event?
I think this race have really brought the community together. It was amazing to witness, to see people just coming together to train for the race and excited about it and posting about it. And I would say again, like the whole community, the hiking community, the trail running community, even road running community, even beginners to trail who wanted just to come and walk the first sections and explore what the goat race is. I would say that was the success itself, that we managed to maybe like grow the community, and that was one of our key reasons that we do those races. That was one of the main things I would say that stayed with me from the race.
That is beautifully said. Now, Dana, just 2 days ago, you guys announced that you are organizing another amazing event, that is the Al Qudra Trail Race, and this is a Ramadan edition. So can you tell our listeners a bit more about that event?
That was a last minute race as well. So we wanted to give back to the community, and Ramadan is the best time to do such events. So we are organizing a race in Al Qudra, which is around the Qudra Lakes. We have 5 kilometer distance, 10 kilometers and 17 kilometers, which goes a bit more inside the dunes, inside the desert. It's a night race, of course. People would require to wear their headlamps. So I know that so many people know the area already, but running there at night would be a different challenge, especially for those doing the 5K, let's say. It's going to be on March 22nd.
That's absolutely great. And what I'll do is, you know, the show notes, I'll definitely go ahead and mention that. Now, besides a headlamp, are there any other requirements, let's say, sand gaiters or any hydration gel or any tips you'd like to give to the athletes?
Yeah, the 17-kilometer runners would require gaiters, because inside the dunes, they would get a lot of sand in their shoes. And since it's a night race, we would rather not have people stay a lot of time inside emptying their shoes and getting in trouble. So gaiters would definitely be required for the 17-kilometer runners. For the 5 and 10, they wouldn't need gaiters or a hydration pack. Since it's around the Qudra Lakes, it's a runnable course. It's quite fast course. So they would just maybe carry their water, bottle of water, since some of them may be fasting for quite a long time. They may need to be hydrated. So the requirements for the 5K and the 10K is very minimal, but for the 17K, they need to go outside as if they're going onto a normal trail run, basically.
And from an organizer's point of view, are there any challenges or additional safety measures you need to take care of when you're doing, let's say, a trail event at night?
Yes, definitely. So we always have marshals in place, always, and we always have extra people ready for any emergency. And the course will be marked. So if people follow the markings, it's going to be a reflective marking, the same almost marking that we used in the goat race, and which can be displayed, removed and disposable, so we don't keep any trace behind. So markings will be there. It will be easy for runners to follow. There will be checkpoints. So even for the 5K, there is one checkpoint basically. So and for the 10K, there will be two checkpoints. For the 17K, they have more than three checkpoints that they can access. And there will be track boxes. So this is one thing that I haven't mentioned. We bought our own tracking system, and
Excellent.
that was one of the things that we got for the goat race itself, because we wanted to know who was out there on the course and who managed to leave, and that's how our sweepers were basically tracking everybody, so we know who is still there and who to wait for. And we're going to use the same system again in Al Qudra. So some stations will have the track boxes, and some marshals will also have track boxes, so we get to know how many runners have finished, how many are still there. And definitely, if there's anybody in trouble, that's the reason we ask them to have a phone on them and call the organizers when needed.
And these track boxes, I mean, do you get the information live real time itself, or does it, is there like a delay?
Yes, it's as soon as the runner passes through the track box, it just registers their time, and then we get it live on the system.
Now, Dana, I'm going to put you on the spot. What do you think would be the finish time for, let's say, the 17K, 10K, and 5K?
So is it like the fastest finish time or
Yeah.
the okay. So it's a very runnable course, I would say. So for example, the 17K may expect somebody to finish under 75 minutes.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, although it goes for around 6K in the dunes, but there are some fast runners that can really like cruise through it fast. For the 10K, we would definitely have somebody finishing under 50 minutes, of course, because it's around the Kudra Lakes, but it's still a jeep, it's still a dirt road basically, so it's very runnable. And the 5K, we definitely ha will definitely have someone finishing under 20 minutes.
Under 20 minutes in Al Qudra will be an absolutely achievement, isn't
Yeah.
it? Now, Donna, you had an interview with Women Play Sports, and in that interview, you mentioned you did a 200-kilometer run without a trainer. And what I'm going to do is, you know, in the show notes, I'll definitely go and put that interview. But I wanted to ask is how important it is to have a great coach, especially for ultra race distances that you guys are doing?
It is very important to hire a coach. I've done Bhutan 200 kilometers being my own coach. But ultra running involves, and endurance sport itself, it involves a lot of things to be aware of: your nutrition, your volume, the intensity, the amount of hours you need to train, recovery, sleep, water, hydration. There are so many aspects that basically would determine your performance on the race. So yes, you may know a lot about your body itself, but then you wouldn't know everything, right? So it is important to have a coach and have a good one. And the relationship between the athlete and the coach has to be a very open and a very there should be a lot of trust between both. So have a coach that you trust, and because us as human beings, we tend to question a lot, right? So if you got a coach that you trust and you follow the plan, you will definitely see better results.
Absolutely, and I can proudly say that in Dubai we do have some of the world's best coaches, especially in trail running, ultra running, and even obstacle course race. And now there is this whole hype about hybrid fitness.
Yes.
And one thing a lot of them they say is focus on your running. Once you're good in running, you can be better in hard rock, so on and so forth. Dana, besides physical training, are there any things you do to tackle, let's say, the mental aspects when participating or in arranging events?
Definitely. I mean, your brain can take you places, right? So when you're on a race, the physical fitness is important, but the mental aspect is, it plays a big role because it can either take you to the finish line or it can take you to the next checkpoint and you stay there. So it's important to prepare in advance. And this is something I normally do. I read a lot. I listen to so many podcasts. I watch a lot of YouTube videos about other ultra runners, and then you see how they make it look so easy, and then you just want to go there and smash it the same way. But it definitely helps, because then you build up your mental strength, and then believe in yourself, believe in your training if you've done the training, and believe what your body is capable of. So this is very, very important. If you have the self-confidence and you've done the training and you're fit and healthy on the day, because sometimes on race day it may not be your day. So there are days, right? There are days that it could be your race and it could be not. So but believe in yourself and just keep going until you get to your goal or to your target.
That is definitely positive and very inspirational. And Dana, based on your experience, both as a participant or even when you're organizing events, how do you think UAE athletes compare to, let's say, international audiences and international athletes?
If we're speaking about trail running, it is definitely growing here. I mean, the sport itself hasn't been very popular back in the years. When I used to run on the trails in 2014, there were a very, very small group of people that used to practice the sport. Now it's getting more popular, and which is nice. It's I think it's growing internationally as well, with all the international races and of course UTMB and all the other brands. But there is a huge opportunity for UAE to grow on this aspect. I think there are so many opportunities that have not been tapped here, and I see that there is a huge opportunity for this market.
And we have such iconic locations as well, right? Wadi Shaka is definitely one of them.
Yeah.
You know, now we have Fujairah, you have, you know, beautiful places in Al Marjan Island as well.
Al-Khayma, there are so many places,
Even Al Ain as well, 100%. Yeah. Now, from an organizer's point of view and with your experience in trail running, what do you think UAE can do to create a dominant world champion in ultra running?
I think here we would need the support of the government. There are so many sports that are supported basically, and recently the OCR has created a league, which is amazing. And I think it can start with having a league for trail running in the UAE, and that would be extraordinary if it happens, because that will also open up to the world internationally. And I do believe that there are people here that are capable of being on this league and representing the UAE outside.
100% right, because you mentioned about obstacle course race, and I can say that there are some OCR athletes like Sergey, for instance. He has beaten a couple of world champions, you know, so he's beaten some of the greatest of all times as well. So what you're saying regarding league is definitely a brilliant point, and I'm hoping that someone from, let's say, the Dubai Sports Council hears it and implements it. And, you know, definitely credit to you for coming up with that. Now, what advice would you like to give to fellow event organizers like yourself, particularly in the UAE? Is there a word of advice, a word of encouragement you'd like to give to them?
Watch and learn.
Yeah.
I would say listen to the runners, listen to the community. There are very, very good event organizers already here who are organizing road races, triathlons, and trail races. But any trail race that goes on dirt road or on jeep trail is not considered a trail race, in my opinion. Trail is basically when you have challenging courses, when because some people come to our races thinking there is a jeep trail, there's an easy course. Trail running is not about running on jeep trail. So I would say maybe the naming of the events should change,
Yes.
and giving this iconic sport its real name, because when you have some good elevation and some good course and some technical terrain and some challenging races, this is when you're running a trail race. So I would say listen to the community, take into consideration what runners say, and take the feedback and improve. And there is a huge potential for everyone to organize races here. But then how would you do it? That would be up to the organizer themselves if they want to improve or if they want to just keep it the basic level.
Absolutely valuable feedback and advice. And you mentioned about, putting the right name. Now, fun fact is regarding Peak Sports Goat Trail Series, there is a friend of mine from Vietnam who actually told me about the event taking place over here. And he was like, "Have you heard about the goat race?" I was like, "What goat race?" Because the name is absolutely iconic and beautiful. Even the image and everything that you guys put up is absolutely brilliant.
So I'd just like to elaborate a bit more on the goat name itself. So it's the greatest of all time, other than having the goat as the goat itself. So it was a mix of both, I would say. This is why we selected this name specifically. And when you say goat, people refer to it, for example, as Kilian Jornet, as like Courtney Dellwater, Eliud Kipchoge. So there are so many names out there that are called goat because they are the first, the fastest, the best. So that's why people related to the name, and it kind of like really made an echo in the trail running community.
Absolutely, 100% an iconic name. And I watch a lot of UFC and MMA, and we often call some fighters as the GOAT. Another terminology which is thrown out over there is BOAT. That is the best of all time. So, definitely a really iconic name regarding GOAT Trail Race. Now, I have three non-fitness related questions, Dana. And the first one is, what genre of music do you like?
Various types, I would say. It depends on my mood. Sometimes I would like to listen to loud stuff. Sometimes I'd like to listen to more classic and quiet stuff. But generally, I like to listen to instruments. I love few instruments that I listen to. And yeah, this is basically the most like the type that I like mostly.
Absolutely excellent. Now, Dana, I got to ask you this question because I have a 16-year-old niece. So the question is, what advice would you like to give a teenager who wants to break the barriers and do something bold, something similar to what you are doing? And that could be, let's say, an adventure sports or mixed martial arts. What advice would you like to give to a teenager?
Believe in yourself, know your purpose. This is important, and set the goals and work towards it. For a teenager, I would say it's gonna be a journey to get to whatever they wanna do. I've done that myself. It took me years to get to where I am today. But if you know what you want and you work towards it, that will always be your goal. And yes, have a purpose in life, believe in yourself, and you're set to fly.
Absolutely brilliant advice, and this part I'll definitely go ahead and make my niece listen to it over and over again. Now, I did have a poll by Instagram, and I asked the audience if they have any question. And one of my friends actually, who's from the cryptocurrency and blockchain space, he asked, "Is there a possibility for us to pay in Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies?" Now, what are your thoughts regarding Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, and will you accept that as registration?
Well, it's interesting, but we haven't tapped into that yet. So yeah, Samir, my partner, is managing the financial aspect more of the business. So we will check But this is something that we haven't done so far.
And Samara, I think he's an ambassador for an app also, right?
For?
For a mobile app, a finance app.
He was.
Because I've seen posts coming up on Facebook, and I was like, he's a guy from Trail Running Dubai. Yeah, I'm not sure if he's
with
up
this. Amana. So
Amana.
So they do those videos for the company, and I think he's the face of the company. So that's why you get to see him.
Absolutely excellent. Thank you so much, Donna, for doing this. And before we wrap up this session, is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience, whether it's about your journey or upcoming races or events or anything that you're excited about?
Definitely. I first would like to thank everyone who believed in us and believed in our journey and supported it from day one. The support that we've been getting from the community is amazing. And this is the reason that is keeping us going, to be honest, because, I mean, I've done this bold movement of quitting my job and focusing full-time on peak sports and the races. And every time I think about taking a step back, the community brings me back to making more races and organizing more. So this is something that I would like to say, because we see all the we see you and as well for anyone who wants to follow their passion and they've been thinking twice, believe in every step. I mean, the beginning is always hard, but if you know what you're doing and the path that you're taking, just be patient, and there are always ups and downs in everything in life. But if you put the right steps in and the effort and you do it with all your heart, you will get where you want to get.
That is absolutely beautifully said. And you know, Donna, I do have another podcast, and I always try to look at people have passion for things, but are they good at it? And based on my experience, very few people are able to merge that thing, and you're definitely one of them. And what I'm really liking is whatever obstacles you have, you're absolutely embracing it. You're not just running away from it. And what is the most beautiful thing about talking to you is you definitely want to inspire people's life. And you're focusing on community. So thank you once again so very much for doing what you're doing. Really, really appreciate it, Donna.
Thank you so much for this conversation, for having me, and for giving me this opportunity to speak about myself and about peak sports. And I hope that this has inspired someone today to just even maybe go for a walk, or maybe just put a plan, for a future plan, for anything they wanted to do in their life.
Absolutely, 100%. Thank you so much again, Donna, for doing this. Have a nice one.
Thank you.